The date is September 16th, 1994, and we're watching Time Cop. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Agent Max Walker to my Commander Eugene Matuzak.
Hello everybody, it's Colin Stewart here.
Oh boy, and you know, it's been a hot minute since we've had a guest on this show with all the co-host shuffling we've had over the last few months, so I'm happy to bring one back for our action month. A man who has been on multiple times, the most distinctive voice in podcasting, I would say, Colin, right? Yeah. he has a San Fran face but an Oakland booty. I mean,
okay.
I was listening to Baby Got Back earlier. I don't know. I thought that was a funny thing to throw in on his intro. But welcome back, political analyst Frank Driscoll.
Yeah, I guess we can call me that now.
I mean, I cheekily say it, yeah, but yeah, it's true, right? I mean,
yes.
It was just starting up with the last time. It was a brand new endeavor last time you were here, but now you're like thick in it.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, and thank you, Sean. Thank you, Colin, for inviting me back. You know how much I love being on here. I think I've lost track of how many times I've been on the show. but I love coming.
Well, I know there was that whole debacle over the missing Five Timers Club jacket.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah,
I forgot all about that till you brought it up.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been at least five, but no, I think we're probably approaching double digits on Frank. But when is it going to be congressional candidate Frank Driscoll that I'm introducing? Like, how far away are we from that with your love of democracy and the democratic process?
Well, to be honest, very far, because I really love my life in the private sector.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Well, you never know.
So this week, we're looking back at September 1994, when the movies and theaters were Quiz Show, A Simple Twist of Fate, Natural Born Killers, subject of, like, a couple weeks ago, Wagons East, and, of course, our movie for today, Time Cop, which earned $101.6 million on a $27 million budget.
Wow.
It's the first Van Damme movie to cross $100 million, and it's his highest-grossing solo Van Damme to date.
Awesome.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I was like pleasantly, like, I'm going to use a double word, I guess, surprised by how good this movie was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun romp.
But as always, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want to have to go back in the past to a time where you didn't know what we said about this movie, then just save yourself the trouble of making a time machine and all that, you know, possibly running into yourself and turning into a pile of goop. Just hit pause on the podcast and then go watch the movie and then come back and listen to what we have to say.
So we've got two taglines that appear on the poster of the movie this week. The first one, they killed his wife 10 years ago. There's still time to save her. Murder is forever. Until now.
Mm, yeah,
ooh,
yeah,
ominous.
Crazy.
Yeah?
And the second one. I don't know.
Wow, that's crazy. Second one, turn back the clock and your history. That's pretty good. That's a good one. Yeah.
Frank,
I think you guys would like that in a former lifetime.
Frank, are you having deja vu?
No, I'm trying to keep myself from laughing. Because he's doing it.
But it may not be a very good description of the movie. So let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
Hmm. In 1994, Officer Max Walker is recruited to the Time Enforcement Commission, the TEC. But before he can accept, he's beat to shit and his house explodes with his wife inside. 10 years later, TEC agent Max Walker finds himself in over his head as an ambitious Harvard-educated visionary named Aaron McComb seeks to use time travel to amass a small fortune and position himself to become the next president of the United States. McComb's reach extends into the TEC, corrupting Walker's former partner and the internal affairs officer assigned to investigate whether Max is also corrupt, even though she's the actual rat. When McComb's plan to frame Walker fails, he opts to kill him by going back to 1994 and killing Max the Younger. 2004, Max discovers that his 1994 wife was pregnant when she died and resolves to risk his life and the space-time continuum in order to save his wife and an unborn child. That's your 60-second synopsis.
Nice. Oh boy. So Time Cop. Time Cop is, it's one of those Van Dams that I really latched onto. Now, I mean, here we are. This is our action hero month. This is an action hero we have had on this show before, once with Street Fighter. Oh boy.
Well, I was going to say I wasn't there for that.
Which, no, you weren't. You unfortunately weren't there for that. But this is one of those ones. This and Universal Soldier and Sudden Death, for some reason, are three of those ones that I always latched on to. I was never the kickboxer guy when it came to Van Damme. I mean, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme is an interesting dude. That's for sure. And so, there's definitely things that I'll always remember from this movie from the first time that I saw it, like the jumping into the splits to avoid getting electrocuted in the water. And of course, the fact that I was a big Ferris Bueller's Day Off fan growing up. And so the fact that I got to see Sloane Peterson's boobies was definitely a formative thing from, you know, 16-year-old Sean's upbringing. That was, you know, a pivotal moment in my life. So I've always loved Time Cop, but boy, oh boy, it has been quite some time since I have seen Time Cop. Now, Frank, I'm going to throw it over to you, but I don't think you have much of a history. I kind of dumped this on you. You said, I trust you. And I'm like, then you're doing Time Cop. So, Frank, do you have a history with Time Cop or even Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Well, I will say, you know, I have put your guys' trust numerous times on this show, so I knew it was going to work out. And but okay. I will say, when it comes to Jean-Claude Van Damme, not really that much. You know, okay. My brother's a big Sly Stallone fan, so we watched a lot of his stuff growing up, but not a lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I knew of him, but I didn't know much of his films, so... Yeah, no, okay. I don't have much of a history.
You might have had a touch with, like, the episode of Friends that he's in, or something like that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, okay, oh, yeah. There you go. There you go. So, okay, no history. Colin, what about you? The man, the myth, the legend, or, you know, or Time Cop itself, what kind of history do you have? Any?
I've never seen Time Cop. I know Jean-Claude Van Damme from, like, an episode of Friends. I mean, I've heard of him, obviously. I grew up in, like, the 90s, so, I mean, I knew of him, but I don't think I'd ever watched...
I grew up in the world.
Yeah, I grew up in the world when, like, action heroes were a big thing, but yeah. I never watched a Van Damme movie other than maybe Street Fighter, but I don't even know that I've seen Street Fighter the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I was more a Rob Van Damme fan than a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan, so... But I will say, I, in keeping with it, like, I don't know, I guess I'll save it to the end. I'll go to the, you'll hear what I'm about to say as we transport to the future in our final thoughts.
Interesting. This could be a really fun episode if I went all Memento style on the editing. Well, alrighty, let's jump into Time Cop. Directed by Peter Hyams, who is the director of 2010, The Relic, Sudden Death. So he was the director on Sudden Death. And episode 139, subject, stay tuned. Produced by Moshe Diamant, Rob Tappert, and Sam Raimi. Yes, that's Sam Raimi. And written by Mark Verheiden and Mike Richardson, and both have a comic series credit? I didn't realize that Time Cop was based on a comic.
Yeah, I didn't either until I read the Wikipedia.
Same.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess me asking whether anyone has read the Time Cop comic in this room,
I haven't. But I definitely want to like look it up, because I'd be interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we open on such exciting opening music. It's so intense, and the credits, on the other hand, are very boring by contrast. Like, it's this very kind of music, and like the credits are just like, you know, blinking up on the screen. You know, like it. I don't know. You need some action-packed credits for Time Cop.
They needed the like side the flying in, yeah. Like where it flies in the center, and then like Batman style, like comes to the fore and like punches you in the face.
Yeah,
it was like 3 minutes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were also very long credits, but they kept the intensity of that music the whole way through.
Right.
It was like being at a Rammstein concert or something. So we open this movie on Gainesville, Georgia, 1863. And so at this point, were either of you like, what the fuck is he making me watch? Or did you just, by the title alone, were you able to kind of predict what was going to happen?
I would say by the title, I assumed that there was going to be some sort of time traveler there. But it did kind of set up that I thought the movie itself was going to be much more like them going throughout history, not just like between 2004 and 1994.
Right.
Yeah, there is definitely an aspect of that missing from this where, yeah, you kind of want to see them jump back and forth more times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mess more things up.
I guess you have the one guy like goes back to the, like it starts off in the, like the Depression or whatever. But I thought when I saw Time Cop, when I saw that title, that it was going to be more like, I don't know, action, like Jean-Claude Van Damme, Doctor Who type situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were expecting him to be like in the series Loki. One of the guys that's actually like going back and cracking some heads and erasing the threads. But they've got a very linear time that they deal with in this movie. Yeah, they don't deal with alternate branches. They deal with, no, if I do something in the past, it's going to affect the future. If I scratch you right now, you're going to have a scar grow on your face in the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like maybe they were afraid. It's always like, it's always a little treacherous when you're dealing with time travel in movies. It falls under a lot of scrutiny because you need to establish some rules. Yeah. And maybe they didn't want to go back like so far, because then you would have the whole like butterfly thing, like you'd step on a bug and you end up with like lizard people or something like that.
Well, let's talk about this cast. I mean, first off, let's go through this. We have, of course, our hero for this movie. What is it about 80s and 90s action stars that none of them could speak very well? I don't understand why all the biggest action stars of the 80s and 90s all had very thick accents.
Because
we got him, we got Arnie, we got, I mean, Stallone can't talk very well. We've got Dolph Lundgren from last week. We, you know, Bruce Willis stood out because he was the guy that sounded like an American.
I mean, if I had to like hazard a guess, I would say that I'm going to link it to like gym / like bodybuilding culture.
Okay.
And say that like generally in the 80s and 90s, those types of people were like freaks. Like nowadays, like everybody's like pretty like versed in fitness, and for like movies and stuff, you know, they'll just give you the cocktail, the Marvel muscle method and let you go. But back in the day, I think like it was a little bit more, that stuff was more underground. And so it was like there was a smaller pool of people to draw from.
Yeah.
And then you're also trying to find people who can kind of act.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is another skill set entirely. And so I think,
if at all.
and if at all. And I would guess like a lot of how, like, I'm pretty sure Van Damme got his start as like a stuntman, if I'm not if I'm not mistaken. So I'm like, you probably had like a lot of that happening, whereas like you're all they're all there's not the internet where like anybody can just throw up a YouTube video of them doing like sweet karate skills. It's like people kind of had to like find you and be noticed, and that was even more rare. So it's like you probably found a guy like Van Damme and were like, well, he's got the look and he's got the moves. His voice is a little weird, but you know, we can work around it. And like in this movie, his voice isn't even that bad. Like he's not Arnold bad. Like early Arnold is
Well, I find it funny though because Street Fighter is also a 1994 movie. And like that's the thing that bugged me about this movie is like the trivia that I found on this movie sucked. Like the comic one was the most interesting thing that I found. And when I was doing Street Fighter, it was always about like Van Damme was coked out on the set and all of this stuff. Like there was so much hijinks going on the Street Fighter set that this one seemed very tame by comparison, that like the trivia just sucked for it.
Oh, well. It's funny like watching this movie because I feel like by today's standard this would be, you know, I would find this movie in the depths of like the Amazon Prime back catalog as like a, you know, some like B-list, like what are those weird like Tarantrasaurus, like it'd be in that aspect. Like it's baffling to like in 1994 this was a movie that did business in
Big
the
business.
box
Big business.
office. Frank, do you have like a an action guy? Are you an action movie guy? Or like are you a Stallone or a Schwarzenegger or a Willis, a Snipes maybe?
Well, I'd say more Stallone than anybody else because
Chan.
I grew up with a lot of his stuff, like the Rocky films and the Rambo films. And my brother's still a big
Okay.
fan of his. So I guess I'd have to say him because I think I know more about him than anyone else. But not everybody has the distinction of living in a state where Arnold Schwarzenegger is your chief executive. So he was a lot in the news
Yes.
when I was a
True.
kid, too. So you
Yeah. Yeah.
gotta. That's mostly what I know him from. I was more surprised as a kid
Yeah.
when I found out he was an actor.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild, yeah.
So
The
yeah, it's a real,
governator.
yeah. Interesting. All right, so yeah, we were cast listing here when I took us on that detour.
Right, we have Mia Sara as Melissa Walker.
Sorry, it's Sloane Peterson.
Ron Silver, Long Ron Silver. He's Aaron McComb. Bruce McGill. Who do I know? Where do I know him from?
Bruce McGill is one of those guys where it's like he's in a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah,
He's Commander Eugene Matuzak.
yeah.
We have Gloria Rubin as Agent Sarah Fielding. That character was underserved, in my opinion. I thought she was going to end up doing more.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to end up in a situation like Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock in Demolition Man. That's what they needed. That's
Yeah,
kind of what
that kind of thing.
this movie was missing, was like
The team
the
up.
part the team up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, okay, I've got Bruce McGill here for you, by the way. He was in Ride Along 2. Oh boy, his IMDb is long. He was in Legally Blonde 2. He was in
A lot of sequels here.
yeah. Indiana Jones and the Infernal Machine. What the fuck is that? Is that a ride? Is that a Disneyland ride, maybe?
That's a good question.
Yeah. He was in Black Sheep. Have you seen Black Sheep?
Did we watch that?
No, we've only done
We watched the
Tomboy.
other one.
Yeah. He's just one of those guys. Yeah, he's 18 episodes of MacGyver. He was in My Cousin Vinny, Last Boy Scout. Like, just, yeah, a little bit of everything for Bruce McGill. And Animal House. Going back to when I did Animal House on this show. But he would have been really young in that. Sorry. Yes, we were just past Agent Sarah Fielding. Yeah, she should have been used more. I agree.
Scott Bellis is Ricky. Jason Schombing is Agent Lyle Atwood. Scott Lawrence is George Spoda. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I mean that's where we're basically getting into. Yeah,
Yeah, the
like.
rest of the people I'm like, I don't know even who these characters are.
Yeah, Vina Sood as nurse. That's great. Okay.
Hey,
Well, once we're out of
she did a good job. Help!
Well, once we're out of name characters, I mean, we got someone that's listed as Stranger.
Who was the guy at the beginning who went to the Senate committee and said, we need the money for the time travel? The guy with the glasses.
That was...
Because I forgot his name.
I really thought... There, I can't remember. There was a black guy, though, in that scene that I really thought was Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, a little bit,
I think that's who I was talking about.
Yeah.
The guy, he talked very intelligently. He was like, the computer. The atom bomb. I like that part.
Well, yeah, see, that's why we have our political analyst on this show, is because we've got the creation of... a committee to help regulate this new technology that's out there. So, you know all about bills. You've watched your share of It's a Bill on Capitol Hill, I'm sure, right?
I love how in like the most American thing I'm pretty sure they were trying to keep it away from the Russians. God damn it, Russia.
Yeah.
I do want to go back to the opening scene. We kind of breezed past it, but the fact that, you know, in the time travel moment, I do like the going back to the Confederate soldiers to steal gold and everything like that. I thought it was a neat opening to this movie to set this weird tone, because then we jump to this oversight committee in 1994 and they create the TEC, and then we like jump to the future. I know we're not quite there, you know, like, you know, there's still some stuff we need to talk about, but did they really think in 1994 when they made this movie that 2004 was going to be that futuristic?
I thought about that too, because I was just like, that's 10 years. You know, how much do you really think? I mean, I guess maybe it was because it would have been like the internet would have just been like exploding at that time. Maybe they were like, this is going to take us to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, I know it all hinges on us, you know, having young Jean-Claude Van Damme here. And, you know, he still has to be young-ish, except with a mullet, Jean-Claude Van Damme later on. But 10 years to have those cars, for that to be the choice of car that they come up with, these self-driving, they were only 30 years off, but you know, they're pretty wild choices that they've made for the future of this world that opens very normally in 1994.
The lack of difference between the two times kind of served to like make me not fully comprehend like where we were, because 1994 didn't look that much different from 2004. That's what I'm kind of saying before, like it would have been nice if they went to some like a western place or like somewhere like vastly different, because it was just too the same.
The difference was the cars. That was the biggest difference. It just always bugs me when movies don't go far enough into the future. I mean, like, you know, something like Bill and Ted's, let's go a few hundred years into the future. But then when you have a movie like this where it's like, come on, 2004, you guys really missed the mark. But yeah, we meet our hero and heroine for this movie. They're playing the old pretend I don't know it's you to try to keep things spicy in their relationship. And we get, this was actually something that I read in the trivia that I found interesting. I guess he purposely styled his hair to look a little bit like Wolverine.
Interesting.
That was a choice by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He was trying to like do a undercover, like a subtle audition. Maybe there's an X-Men film in the works at the time.
Yeah, well, maybe, but we get the opening bit here where he stops a purse snatching and almost kicks the guy in the face, but tells the guy to read off the bottom of his boot. What does that say?
Wolverine.
And what does it say? I think it says Sponsorship Corner!
I didn't understand that line fully. Like, I couldn't tell if there was, like, if I was missing some sort of joke or like suggestion, or if there was actually something on his boot, it went too fast. I couldn't read it.
No, I think he just thought he was Wolverine in this movie. He did the hair like it. He wore Wolverine boots. Yes, because that is the name on the bottom of the boot is Wolverine. Always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, Time Cop is brought to you by Nissan and Lincoln Vehicles, Wolverine Boots, A&W Restaurant, 7-Up, Sosa Tequila, Ruffles Chip, Finning Forklifts, Bulova Watches, and USA Today, and the New York Times, and Black Black Chewing Gum. Which, if you've never heard of Black Black Chewing Gum, there's probably a reason why. Because
it's
you
a
would have
racist.
Wanted to be alive. Well, yes, that too. But you would have wanted to have been alive in 1994 and in Japan, where Black Black Chewing Gum is from, and Van Damme was a spokesman for. Yes, you would have seen commercials of Jean-Claude Van Damme advertising Black Black Chewing Gum, and so he managed to slip it into Time Cop as well. And plus the possibly fictional Capital Drugs, Parker Data Link Systems, Macomb Data Link Systems, and Parker Macomb Data Link Systems. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
All right.
Yeah, I think the point of that was just to show how flexible Jean-Claude Van Damme is.
Mm-hmm.
Get him to read the name of his favorite Marvel character and show that, like, you are this close to death. I could have caved in your skull just now, but I'm a nice guy.
I thought he was just gonna like flick his ankle and like just like do a little like toe slap, like and like knock him out somehow.
Like the 6 inch or the 1 inch punch or whatever it is.
Yeah That is what I remember most about Jean-Claude Van Damme, though, is his like his sweet kicks and his ability to do the splits. Which we get to see later.
His flexibility is,
it is impressive.
Legendary.
I remember being disappointed that he wasn't cast as Johnny Cage in like the Mortal Kombat movie, because it just like Johnny Cage, I'm pretty sure, is based on Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Yeah, no. You want him in the role that he looks just like, which is the flat top blonde Guile.
Yeah, the American super. That'd be like him being Captain America.
Yeah.
This big old Belgian man.
big old American flag tattoo on his shoulder. Yes, and he has that Belgium French accent going on. Yeah. So after he stops the purse snatching, we get a sex scene. So this was a sexual awakening for 15-year-old Sean, and then Max gets called into work. But we find out that it's just all a setup, and he gets his ass kicked a little bit. Just shot in the front yard.
A little bit. He gets his ass kicked a lot.
Oh, yeah. A lot of blood.
Why is it that every time in a movie or a TV show, when a hero gets shot with a bulletproof vest, they rip open their shirt? Like, I know we want to tell the audience, don't worry, he's okay. But, like, why do they always insist on ripping open their shirt to expose the vest? Do you need to help it breathe? Is there something I don't know about? Oh, don't want the shirt to catch fire? Is that a possibility?
Well, it does need help breathing. It did just get shot. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. Let's see if I have a theory. I do think that it's partly cinema. Like a cinematic effect.
Yeah.
But I think there is like a realism in that, like, I don't know, think about any time you've ever been hurt. Like if you've ever, like, I don't know, if you ever like caught your leg, like on like a stray nail or something, like, or like got like a scratch or something, like your first instinct is always to look at it and see what happened and like and
I
what
guess
the damage
roll up your
is
pant leg.
And that kind of thing. So I think it would be similar similar to that. Like I think there's something that's just like instinctual about like when you get punctured as a human being, you're like, I need to see it. Like
That's a good point.
it's the
Yeah,
same like
that's
you
a
also
fair.
see in movies sometimes when people have like massive first aid trauma, or like where like a bone is poking through. They always tell the first thing people always say is like, don't look, because they don't want you to go into shock. And I think part of that's just like there's probably some like biological instinct that takes over whenever your body senses that like, I don't know, it's been pierced and there's like blood is leaking out of you.
Yeah, I remember dropping a knife on my hand and looking at my bone. That was yeah.
Ooh.
And that's why my pinky finger will never be straight again. Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my days as a chef. But those were days of young Sean. So ultimately, in this scene, though, he can't save his woman. His house gets blowed up. And then we cut to like Wall Street, 19, 1920 or 1930, I guess. October 30, no, October 30th,
29.
1920. 1929. See, my voice to text, it heard 1920. I knew that wasn't the right date. So yeah, we've got one stockbroker that's jumped out a window, and I like the elevator guy in this scene though, because he reminds me of the guy in Mr. Deeds.
Oh yeah. Very, very sneaky, sir.
Yeah, well, no, the
Oh,
elevator
the
guy in
other
Mr.
guy, not
Deeds, you know, has the
the
elevator dudes. Oh, well, it has its ups and downs.
butler, yeah.
Because they make the joke in the elevator where it's the, you know, if this keeps up, you won't have a job anymore. And he goes, well, I have a job going up. You know, gallows humor. I love it.
That's some morbid shit.
It really is.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of, yeah, J.B. Smoove in Mr. Deeds. So if you had access to the time machine, is this what you would do? Would you go back and start buying up stocks in at a time when it was easy to do so?
Good question, Frank. What would you, if you had access to a time machine, what would you do?
Well, I wouldn't go back to the 1920s to buy stocks. I would go back to the 1920s to party the hell out of it, because that's my favorite era of history right there. I'll
Yeah.
just go back whenever I can, just say, "Hey, what's up, honey? How you doing?" But I mean,
You'd
because the
fit in
stocks
so well
went.
with the
Frank has all the 1920s game oozing out of
I
him.
was gonna say you should
Yeah.
go back and back to the 1920s and just start like becoming a like a lounge singer.
What's up, sweetheart? Yeah.
Yeah, because well, the stocks did go pretty bad right around that time, because that was the start of the Depression era. So if I had to go back, buy them out.
But yeah, that's the point, is you're buying them when they're dirt cheap and then you just sit on them
Oh,
for
I didn't think
80
of
years and go
that.
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there like
Ah,
somebody
dumbass.
specifically you would go hang with? I'm trying to think of like who's in the who are like the big celebrities of the 1920s.
Yeah, go see like Dizzy Gillespie play or something like that.
Oh yeah. Somebody like that. Who else? Well, the mob scene was pretty interesting back then, too. They walked amongst us, the mobsters, you know, and they were virtually Robin Hoods, you know. So you saw them in the
Is there
street, in the bread line. And as long as you didn't cross them, you'd be
1920s?
good.
Yeah. Is 1920s like Prohibition era? Is that
Right around, yeah.
like have you ever watched the
Well,
show Boardwalk Empire?
I know of it. I've been
Okay.
meaning to watch it. But
You
yeah.
should. You'd like it.
Like,
I think
yeah, I think it's a John Mulaney joke where he's like, you know, it would have been so easy to be a gangster back then. He's like, because like not only weren't they putting masks on, but they were like running out of there being like, tell them Mom Pa Parker did this. Yeah, you know, like and it's true. That would have been such an easy time to be a bad guy.
yeah.
Could have gotten away with anything back then.
I don't know if I had a time machine, if I would use it to make money. I guess I would want like a little bit of money, but I think I'd use a time machine more to go back to like historical events to just like check it out.
Oh, you'd be Bill and Ted's it.
Yeah, like I think I would look at I'd look at like really famous photos, and it would be my goal to be like the weird shadow lurking in the background of all these photos to then like leave as a trail for somebody to find. Like a game.
You want to be on the grassy knoll,
Yeah, exactly.
Or just find where you're standing and find where the camera is and just wave.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we are. So let's jump forward to 2004, right? I tried to get there earlier. Now we're in 2004. Because they've managed to, I guess we were in 1929. They capture the guy in 1929 and take him back to 2004.
Right.
Because he's the partner. Which character is that? Is that Ricky?
Shit.
Or is it
yeah.
Lyle? Let me find
Lyle tries to evade capture by killing himself and jumping out the window. Right.
Lyle.
Yes. Yeah. I do have Lyle. Yes. Yeah, that was a neat scene where he tries to jump out the window, and they catch up with him and make a portal in midair.
Yeah.
And then they sentence him to death, so they send him right back to that moment in time. Good way to die, I guess, or good way to kill him off, I guess, if capital punishment is what you're into. But they're trying to avoid having any ripple effects in the future. Wouldn't leaving a body behind that has no identity cause all sorts of ripple effects?
Perhaps.
I guess like the assertion is that because it's a Jane Doe, nobody will be able to link it to anything. And if you're killing somebody, I think that the issue is more killing somebody in the past will have effects. But if you kill somebody from the future, they're not going to, like, affect the future. I guess, like, everybody's just going to be like, oh, well, that was weird. Like, this guy nobody knew and we'd never heard of, like... But I guess, that being said, you could have...
But he landed on someone's car.
Yeah.
Now that person doesn't get to work on time and he gets fired.
Fair.
You know, and he goes
and
on a shooting
spree.
Cars
weren't easy to fix back then.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's a lot of things that just... leaving this body in the past, you know, 60 years before he was born.
Yeah.
Like, it seems sloppy for this TEC, this company, which is supposed to be monitoring usage of like the past. Yeah. It just seems sloppy that they would leave behind something.
Yeah.
Anything. See, unfortunately, it was like a week ago that I watched this, so I'm also trying to like decipher my notes as I go here, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just watched it 2 days ago, and I'm still forgetting stuff.
Yeah, it always comes through in the edit.
Right.
The biggest problem I often have with movies like this is when I don't recognize who anyone is, if I'm not picking up on the names as the movie's going on, then it's kind of like my notes end up saying, oh, guy did this. You know, oh, yeah, that guy. Or, you know, like, or I will find nicknames to try to think about what these people look like. Like, for example, I thought that the senator guy, I thought he looked like off-brand Andy Garcia. That's what I thought. And so a lot of my notes, I keep referring to him as Andy Garcia at that point. And it's like, no, Andy Garcia is not in this movie. And it's not a guy named Andy Garcia. So, yeah, it's that's where I sometimes struggle with my notes.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
With the guy falling out the window and they make the portal. But just with their whole, like, this whole time machine in general, is it, like, how is it that they leave in a vehicle and get there not in a vehicle
and then
leave not in a vehicle and then come back in that weird little car thing?
Yes, that is also a question that I had that I can't make sense of either. I cannot for the life of me understand the technology involved in that.
That was one of the things where I'm just like, why couldn't they just have like a wrist bracelet thing for a time machine. Like, why did it have to be this massive contraption?
Well, because for the scene later on, we need like the dramatic tension of what's going to happen with his buddy. Is he going to be able to operate this very complicated car? But we don't want to deal with worrying about where the car is going to be in the past. Like, what are you going to cover it with some branches? Like that's the other thing I noticed a lot in this movie too, is he's walking around in the quote unquote futuristic cop uniform, flashing a cop badge. And it's like, you don't look like a cop of our time. Like, at no point do they try to disguise themselves to the era. And that's also something that I find odd about this movie.
Yeah, I think again that well in the 1994 situation, I like it's not like he's so out of place. He kind of looks like Casey Jones in the 90s Turtles movie, so he's not that far off the fashion. It's like it's simultaneously that they didn't up the fashion in any way for 2004, and then because everything is like filmed in 1994 again, like not they didn't go back to the 20s where, like you're saying, Sean, it would make sense where they'd have to like change their uniforms or
Put
like
a
change
different
their
jacket
style
on,
and that kind of
yeah.
stuff. It would have been hilarious though if like 2004 people were wearing like I don't know silver like body suits and stuff or like something weird. Like how they thought maybe like in the 1950s 2004 would look.
Yeah,
like a Jetsons type thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say like this movie to me, the I lost the plot a couple times. Like I was trying, like I didn't really understand why all of a sudden Max was implicated in being corrupt just because his partner was corrupt, and then you have the Eternals Affairs thing, and like people are still trying to kill him then, but it's not clear why people like show up to his apartment to kill him. Because later
I
on,
mean,
like Macomb doesn't explain, like, oh, like we've been trying to get you for a while and you keep thwarting us, like, well, like, because that's what it kind of seemed like. It kind of seemed like they were trying to like get rid of him for some reason in the present day, and then were forced to go back after him in the past. But that doesn't really come across all that well. I could just be making it up.
It's also that we can see Jean-Claude Van Damme kick a lot, do some splits. I think once you get time travel involved in any plot, it can get a little wishy-washy. So I think you gotta kind of chalk this one up to it's a 90s action flick. Don't think too much about it. I don't know if I can shed any more light on that for you, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Well, one thing I want to add that I kind of thought was cool about the trope of time travel in this film was that straight up from the beginning, they're like, you can't go to the future. And, you know, we see time travel all the time. You know, people travel to the future in some films. And then it's like, it's the most logical reason why you can't travel to the future. It hasn't
Because it
freaking
hasn't
happened.
happened.
And I'm like, it's that simple.
But then you have the whole idea of string theory, which is, you know, well, or is it just a big circle? You know, like, so there's, you know, that's why when you have something like Avengers, where they're all sitting around debating what kind of time travel we're going to end up with. Are we going to end up with Back to the Future time travel? Are we going to end up with Time Cop travel? Are we going to end up with Hot Tub Time Machine time travel? Like, you know, there's what which time travel are we going to end up with? And this one, they go with the straightforward one. If I cut you in the past, you're going to have a scar in the future.
Well, I would say as far as time travel goes, my favorite is the Avengers. It's the easiest to explain where you just have like concurrent timelines, and so it's like things are happening similarly and you can just go back. but you're not disrupting like you're not disrupting like the proper timeline. I thought that was a cool. I think the Avengers is probably like the first one to do it that way.
Yeah, well, no, Back to the Future Part 2 does it that way.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, the alternate Biff Tannen future is an alternate timeline. Now, I mean, the whole question with Back to the Future is how did he manage to make it all the way through the first movie and almost fuck his mom, but not manage to set anything major into motion for the future? But in anyway,
Yeah.
but that's Back to the Future. This is Time Cop. So the scene where he goes home and he passes out drunk and then the house gets broken into and there's water all over the floor and the guy has the taser. This is where we get the splits over the counter. So I mean, if you know one thing about Time Cop before you go in, it's probably that Jean-Claude Van Damme does the splits over the counter. Did either of you know at least that moment of Time Cop?
I didn't. I know
No.
Jean-Claude does the splits, but I didn't know that that was like his signature thing in every movie.
Well, this one in particular, though, the fact that he does it on the counter was such a huge deal. But yeah, Kickboxer, he's got the one move, which is basically Johnny Cage. He drops into the splits and like punches upward. Yeah.
I didn't know that, honestly. It's impressive, but I didn't know.
Yeah, the splits, that's his thing.
I remember back in the day as a kid trying to be able to do the splits to be like Jean-Claude Van Damme, even though I didn't really know who he was.
Yeah.
Just seemed like the thing you had to do.
So yeah, now we get the team up of Max being followed by the internal affairs officer, and yeah, like you said, this should have been a much bigger deal, is that now he's got this little sidekick that following him around. I like how cool Jean-Claude Van Damme is though, as Max getting into the sled while she's all freaking out and can't really handle it very well. He's chewing his black gum and he's just cool as a cucumber, basically falling asleep. And this is where I have the note. I'm curious why they get launched in a car but arrive without a car.
There we go, that
A wizard did it, I guess. It's one of those
again.
things. Yeah, it was really disappointing to me when they have that standoff and then all of a sudden she just turns the gun on him. I thought,
Yeah, she's dirty and working with the senator.
yeah.
Yeah, like it's could have taken her so much and if you're going to turn on him, like you should have made her like a much bigger part of the movie. Like you
Yeah.
should have made the turn sting more at the end, not like this mid-movie deception that we've got going on here.
Yeah, this movie like toyed with my emotions a little bit when it came to her because it's like one of those things where it's, like I've watched a lot of movies and you get used to kind of like, not that every story is the same, but there's like certain like elements that happen. And I felt like they kept telling me that this girl, there was going to be more to her. And so, but then she turns and then he's like, oh, well, I need to go back and get her. And I was like, oh, well, here comes the team up. And then he meets her in the hospital room and they have their little moment. And then he comes back and she's just dead. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Just don't think about it too much. It's a 90s action flick.
Yeah, that's what I've learned.
But what you're really here for is things like, using a forklift to do a shootout, That
Right.
was a really cool moment. Raising the forklift as he's shooting at the guy above him. And then we get the guy with
That
his
are
arm
kicking a guy's.
frozen.
Yes, I was just about to mention that.
Yeah. Freezing the guy's arm and kicking it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, those are some terrible effects though.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Mean, I thought it was pretty decent for 1994.
Well, for 94, I guess, yeah. Put that lens on it, yeah.
I remember when he launched into 1994 to stop the house invasion, and he almost gets hit by that truck. I watch it.
Oh
It's like
yeah.
green screen.
Yeah, that was interesting. I thought I was like, was that real? But then I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Did either of you think that like this is another thing about like time travel and like not this isn't a time travel movie, but like the movie The Prestige where there's like a big cool reveal at the end. Like when he finally, when like 2004 Max like meets Melissa and he's talking to her and she's like asking questions about what happened to her. Like I thought there was gonna be some weird unfolding and like a flashback to the original scene where it was like, oh, he was there the whole time and he managed to like save her and maybe she was actually alive but their relationship just didn't work out and that kind of stuff. I thought they were setting up for something like that.
Yeah. I always like in movies too when they get hit with like a decade's worth of memories. I would have liked that moment at the end. You know, that's another, yeah. I guess they could have done that. That could have been a twist, but instead we have to use time travel instead to fuck with everything. Even though you're not supposed to.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah. When they kill off the internal affairs lady, what do you think? Was it air bubble or was it some sort of drug? What do you think was in the syringe?
Air bubble. That's what I'm going
Air
for.
bubble? 1994, it was an air bubble? Okay.
It seems like it would have had to be fairly quick. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Those guys are pretty big. I guess they could have just like covered her mouth as well if she was screaming or something.
Yeah.
And then we get Vita. Help! Help! Running down the halls. Great work. Like, and kind of sexist, everybody else in that hospital, like nobody turns to her, nobody says, what's the matter? Sexist and racist, kind of, in hindsight. How do we even know she was a nurse? Like the way everybody treats her, maybe she was just some insane person in this hospital. Like everybody's thought, there she goes again. She's the type of guy. She's the type of person that like these time traveler people rely on to because they have no credibility.
Ultimately, in this movie, of course, decides to change the past. He attempts to save his wife's life. And so, whatever you do, keep him in the house.
Because he finds out that she's pregnant,
Yeah, because she.
which begs the question, like he really wasn't gonna do it if he didn't know that she was pre until he f found out she was pregnant.
Well, if I'm saving for two, I might as well. Yeah, it is quite the motivation, I guess, is that yeah, you don't care enough about the one person, but the one that you haven't met yet. You don't even know whether she was going to take it to term.
Yes, I guess.
I took a real 180 there.
And I mean the way and I mean and I mean the way things go, like she, falls down the roof of a house, gets shot,
Yeah.
almost blown up. Like, I don't know. That's a
I'm
lot of
just
stress
saying,
on an
right?
embryo.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like she's going on bed rest that night. Yeah, she's doing quite a lot.
But guys, let's cut to the future. Let's cut to the end just right now. Not to end the podcast, but just like when we get to the end and we see this kid, that's not his kid. That is not his kid. That kid is like Aryan, and he's like he's I don't know, I don't like I know Jean-Claude Van Damme is like is white, but like he's that Spanish like dark white. You
Yeah,
know,
he's
kind
that
of, he's got
olive
that kind of
white.
thing going on. Yeah, and this kid comes out and he's like paste white. Like he's like
And like Mia Sara isn't, she's brunette too. Like she's not exactly the whitest person either.
Yeah, so I don't know. You might have more problems there,
It questions
Max.
more of the time travel continuum, doesn't it?
That kid looks more like Matuzik.
Oh no.
I did think that the final fight, I mean, I always love like a last fight at the to, defend the house. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got fighting in the attic. We've got...
Storm blows in. We get some fighting in the rain. In.
Yeah, of course we do. Yeah. Melissa to the rescue at one point when she shoots one of the bad guys to death. Yeah. I mean...
Through the roof in the dick.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get the, you know, big final boss ending where we throw one senator into another senator. And because we can't occupy the same space, we get some very rough CGI as he melts into goop.
Right. Did either of you think that this movie missed like a golden opportunity to have a sweet like Jean-Claude tag team battle where like they know that they can't occupy the same space, so they do like cool flips and rolls and kicks and stuff to like, I don't know, take that massive dude down, but like not never occupy the same space?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
What a miss.
That is absolutely what this is missing. Yeah. Because I did read that a lot of the stuff that was done, his stuntman, Jean-Claude Van Damme's stuntman, was playing the younger version of Max. Yeah, in any of the scenes where you kind of saw both of them sort of nearby each other, especially in the mall. Yeah. But so ultimately, in the end, when Max gets back to 2004, we find out that everything's kind of normal again, and we find out why we conveniently made the cars the most technologically advanced things in 2004, because it takes them home, and home is not where he expected it to be. Last time he saw that place, it was a pile of dust, pile of rubble. He's not supposed to live there.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize that till right now.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's 100% the only reason why we have self-driving cars in 2004. Yeah. Because he doesn't even have to enter an address. He just says home.
Yeah.
And it takes him home, right. See?
And now he ends up like, I don't know where He-Man is if we're doing this after he, but it's almost like the exact same ending, except he doesn't have anybody to talk to be like, hey, oh, do you remember?
Oh, shit, it is the same ending as Masters of the Universe. Yeah. Wow, back-to-back movies with the same ending.
Yeah. I mean, the time travel in Masters of the Universe is very shoehorned in at the 11th hour, but very. Still.
Oh, boy. And so I guess there we go. That's Time Cop. I mean, we really didn't say much about the movie itself, but there we go. That's Time Cop. Oh, boy. Now, Colin, Frank, on IMDb, it scored 5.9 out of 10. Has a Metascore of 48. Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, Rotten Tomatoes not liking it as much. 42% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 36.
Wow.
But Colin, those are just numbers. Like a Wolverine boot to the face. Hit us with some reviews.
I would have loved it if now that you mentioned that Wolverine thing, if like how funny it would have been if all of a sudden Jean-Claude just was kept saying like bub, just added a few bubs into everything. All right. This is from Andrew Chan, 3 out of 5. Definitely one of Van Damme's better movies. Time Cop may be a sci-fi action film that's riddled with plot holes, but is still a fun enough watch that manages to get a decent performance from its lead. Director Peter Hyams seems to be good at getting the most out of Van Damme, as was the case in Sudden Death, probably still my favorite film of his. And he succeeds here, with Van Damme giving a passable lead performance that helps to elevate the movie alongside his usual proficiency in the action sequences. The plot, unsurprisingly, is very messy, chock full of inconsistencies and plot holes that quickly fall apart under any scrutiny, but even this would hardly deter fans who like this movie. At the end of the day, Time Cop is really aiming only to be a consistently entertaining and well-made sci-fi actioner, and on these merits, it works.
Oh man, we should have watched Sudden Death, come to think of it. All these mentions, I mean, I brought it up earlier, I mean, that's a hockey movie, we should have been watching that one.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is in a hockey movie?
Oh, yeah. He's saved. There's a plan to set off a bomb at the Stanley Cup final, and he's the guy in charge of rescuing saving the day.
Does he play hockey?
It's been so long since I've seen it. I remember at one point he's out on the ice, but I don't think he's on skates.
Well, we need to watch this movie post haste.
The splits might come very handy. And
yeah, I was gonna say. If he doesn't roundhouse kick someone and cut their head off, then I don't even know what we're doing. Ken B gives the movie 2.5 out of 5 stars and says, this was okay. Had some good fighting scenes, but it fell a big short on keeping me at the edge of my seat.
Nice.
And then MR says, 3 out of 5 stars. JCVD in one of his most coke-fueled roles. I was a child when I first saw this movie, and it's fun. Terrible, but fun. It's the perfect bad movie night film to riff with friends, family, or loved ones. And there you go.
That person seems to think it's one of his coke-fueled roles. Where was the IMDb trivia on that?
I don't know. IMDb is just like coke wash for Van Damme.
I mean, there was one story about how he tried to change the choreography in the final fight and didn't tell anyone. And so they said, no, stop doing that, right? Like, you can't do that. And he got furious and started really hitting the guy. So that sounds like a coke-fueled story. I didn't write the story down. I don't know all the details for sure. But anyway. They never mentioned coke. Oh, boy, Time Cop. Yeah, we really did not have any kind of coherent thread through that summary of Time Cop. This is one I was really looking forward to watching because it has been quite a few years since I have seen it. And I have to say, I still had a fun time with it, even if it doesn't fully make sense. Like, it was still a fun revisit because it's just a mindless action movie and... I'm always a sucker for something that involves time travel, too. I don't know why. It's one of those soft spots. I like heist movies. I like time travel movies. I don't know why. I still love this movie. I thought it was still fun. So I'm going to throw it to the people that are seeing this movie for the first time. Frank, what did you think of Time Cop?
It was all right. You know, like, okay. I'm a sucker for time travel, too. And, you know... I'm a big Family Guy fan, and it seems like every 9th episode, Stewie and Brian are going back in time and changing something. So in a way, this was kind of that, but in an action movie era. it kept my attention, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was fun to watch. Am I going to reach for it next time I want to watch a movie? Maybe not, but it was all right.
Would you... look at more Jean-Claude Van Damme in the future now that you have finally been exposed to this Hollywood leading man?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would like to see what else he's done. Now, I know you guys mentioned Street Fighter. Now, I hear that's a terrible film. But...
oh, yeah, it's a piece of shit. Yeah, it's absolutely horrible.
Yeah, so maybe not start with that.
No, I mean, maybe we'll have to have you back for Sudden Death. We'll come watch a hockey movie with us.
Not a bad option.
Yeah. So, Colin, what about you? Time Cop, your first experience with this one? What did you think?
I liked it a lot, actually. I will say that I thought the action was great. I thought that the plot is, like, very, very simple, but, like, it didn't bother me. Yeah. You know, there are, like, plot holes, as with any time travel movie, but I think the important thing with time travel movies to me is, like, as long as they follow their own rules, then, you know, it's fine. And I think they did that. Like, I think we've talked about it throughout. Like, I would have liked there to be, like, a bigger time gap just so that like the change in time would have been more apparent because it seems like they're kind of just like betting on, and it's also like in hindsight, like we're in 2024 now and we're still not there. So we still don't have time machines or whatever, but That is just like
that we know that, of.
That we know of, yeah, right. But yeah, I'll say this is my first like real experience of Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I really liked him as an action star. I feel like I would like now to go watch. Definitely, I want to go watch Sudden Death, but I'd also like to go watch some of his other movies. I will say in this movie, I don't know how late or like where this movie falls in terms of like his career arc, but I was expecting kind of like what you were saying, Sean, where he was going to be more Arnold, where it was like that. I had to like prepare myself for the fact that the acting was going to be terrible, but the action and everything else was going to be decent.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually thought his acting in this movie was really good.
No, he's a very charismatic guy. And I mean, even with Street Fighter, which is a terrible movie, when I did that one, I remember remarking on he's a hunk. He's definitely, you can see his charm. You can understand why, despite the fact that he can be hard to understand in some of the things that he does, that you would want him as a leading man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think at the end of the day, that was the most surprising film to me, was just that I was like, oh, he's like a passable actor. He's not just like, you know, your 80s meathead who's just there because he looks great.
Mm-hmm. Now, would either of you ever seek out the short-lived TV series or the sequel to Time Cop? It doesn't, neither of them have Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. I'll take that off the table.
The TV series sounds more like what you want from Time Cop. Like, it right? sounds more like almost Bad Boys with time travel, like a buddy cop scenario with time travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be down for that. The sequel, I didn't look into it too much, but
well, the sequel, from what I saw, stars Jason good. Scott Lee. And Jason Scott Lee, I remember him from two things. One of them was like a Tarzan movie or something like that. And then the other was he played Bruce Lee in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And Time Cop yeah. 2.
I think, like, after watching this movie, I'm surprised that it's not a movie that hasn't been remade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the premise is solid.
Yeah.
And I think you could make, it's kind of like a, well, it's not, I don't know how much, what's that, 12 Monkeys? That's like a time travel one.
Yeah, 12 Monkeys as well, is time like, travel. Looper? I love Looper.
Yeah. Right, I love Looper, yeah. Like, I think you could make, like, with today's, the quality of, like, today's TV and movie writing, I think you could make Time Cop into something, like, amazing if you really wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Or you make Loki.
Or you make Loki, yeah.
That's basically a time cop, right?
Yeah. It'd be time cop if you focus like not on Owen Wilson's character and on the other TVA agents who actually seem like they're badasses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, there we go. That is Time Cop, and that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. A big, huge thank you to our special guest, Frank Driscoll. Frank, as always, we love having you here. Thank you for joining us. You're back in the podcasting world, and right now is a busy time for you. Uh-huh. So that and your trivia, plug your shit. Tell us where we can find you.
Yes. I am the host of Driscoll's Election Dissection, which is part of Across the Circus from Algid Productions. Whenever there's an interesting battleground primary election coming up, I like to let people know about it. So those episodes come out every now and again, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are in the East San Francisco Bay Area, I host Trivia Night through King Trivia at Up and Under Pub and Grill in Point Richmond every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So if you're ever in that area, come on down and show us how smart you are.
See, Colin, San Fran face, Oakland booty, right there.
Right.
Because East San Fran, you're basically Oakland, right? Or, you know, you're getting right on the edge of Oakland, aren't you?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm right next to Berkeley, which is right by Oakland. So, technically.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Well, yeah, so once again, thank you, Frank. Always love having you.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to be here.
If you like that show, well, you know, tell someone. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast. Telling people firsthand means so much more than just reviews alone. But reviews are also awesome. Go to whatever app you listen to podcasts on and give us some stars. Give us a little review. You know, help drive us up some charts using science and technology. And, you know, the more clicks that a guy gets, the more they get noticed. So, you know, help your boys out. Or if you want to go above and beyond and be a financial supporter of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. Become part of our Patreon family, and you get a shout out just like executive producer Joshua Blum.
And be sure to check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Colin. Action heroes. Classic action. We've had a couple of weird ones because we've been dealing with time travel. We've had Masters of the Universe. We've had Time Cop. So I think it's time to just have a good old straightforward action movie, but not necessarily a lot of gunplay. There's a little gunplay, but not a lot. It's time for some Nick Cage, baby. Here we go. We're gone in 60 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
Eleanor.
Yes, we need to visit Eleanor, and we need to go see, a little Vinnie Jones and some Angelina Jolie, and we need to, let's steal some cars. It's time straightforward Jerry Bruckheimer, no holds barred action. I'm looking forward to this one. I love Gone in 60 Seconds. As I already said, I'm a sucker for a heist movie. I fucking love Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long, long time, but I remember it being, as the kids say, all the rage.
Yeah, because, I mean, and this is one of those ones that the cast list is going to be stupid on this one. We've had a couple of cast lists where we're like, who the fuck are all these people? But I mean, we're dealing with, we've got Scott Conn, and we've got Casey Affleck, and we've got Bernie Mac. Like, we've got like all-star cast. It's going to be insane. So there we go. So until next week, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin Stewart.
And we'll see you for Gone in 60 Seconds on I Used to Like This One. So the tagline, oh shit. I missed my tagline. What the fuck?
I got one here. It's let's see. Oh, come on, I gotta see it. They killed his wife 10 years ago. There's still time to save her.
I like that.
See, I saw that. Okay, yeah. that's the one that we got. Okay, so yes.
Is that the only one? So,
no, so taglines, we got two taglines, yeah. So the first you just said, I don't know, I feel weird leaving that in the edit though, having that sound all wrong. I'm all discombobulated over here. Well, the second tagline, here we go. Turn back the clock and your history.
Ooh. Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
So, okay, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. So, no, I'll leave it. Never mind.
I don't listen to the episode, I mean, if you need to just like erase everything that I said and re-record all this and just put in some, Frank and I can just go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's okay. Pretty good. Yeah, I'm so on that one. You can just take any of those and just resplice them how you need.
Well, this is definitely all staying in now. Fuck! Now I look like an amateur though, because I like I messed up on not including taglines. There's been times that, you know, behind the curtain here, I have forgotten taglines before and I've just rolled with it. But
sounds like you could use a time machine to go back.
I could use a fucking time machine. See, it's all relevant. Yes. So, and none of those are good descriptions of this movie. So let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
You should just cut all this out and like throw it into the end of like as like a bonus a bonus time pod in the time cop episode.
Yeah. So we've got two taglines that appear on the poster of the movie this week. The first one, they killed his wife 10 years ago. There's still time to save her. Murder is forever until now. Ooh, ominous. Mm,
yeah, crazy.
And the second one...
I feel like I heard that one before.
Wow, that's crazy. Second one, turn back the clock and your history. That's pretty good. That's a good one. Yeah. I think you guys would like Frank. That in a former lifetime.
Frank, are you having deja vu?
But it may not
no,
be...
I'm trying to keep myself from laughing.
But it may not be a very good description of the movie. So let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.